Lady here in Derech Hashem, Sunday, Parshas Toldos, Chof Gimel Mar Cheshvin, November 12th, Shir number 16 in Derech Hashem, and we're in the middle of section 1, paragraph 4, we're in the middle of that, starting with the paragraph, the Ilbo Haisa.
It explains how others and the mechanism how the Midas could be transferred.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're learning there Hashem in section 1, paragraph 4, in the middle of paragraph 4. And we sort of gave a summary of the speaking verse up to date. No one might do here and there. Hashem shows the spiritual physics of the reality of what we're doing in this world, much more complicated than just a series of rules. And if you follow the rules enough, you get your reward and you go on the class trip to Gan Eden. If you don't follow the rules, you don't go on the class trip to Gan Eden. Much more sophisticated than that. And he explains, we're up to the words, the evil of Hazar, Zayra, Gzura, Sheyamos. And up till here, he talked about, very, 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 very quickly, to repeat again, the Neshama is the purest thing in the Bria, it's as close to Elokus, it's a Helik Aloka Mimal, it's pure, it's shining, it's spiritual, it's inherently something that's Dovek Hashem, and it was plunged into this world, which is a physical world, much more physical after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, as he explained, and it's like it's covered with mud. It's like you take a pure diamond and you throw it into the mud, so you have to clean it off, and our job in this world is to clean off the mud to make the diamond shine again. And thus, almost automatically, reconnecting the neshama to its source, which is Hashem, except with the added, but you have to do it through amal, it's work, it's not automatic, because it's covered with mud. And that's the purpose of the whole Bria, is that mankind should work on cleaning off the mud of physicality. And this is through the mitzvah, so I'll explain even more detailed how. And then the neshama will actually spiritualize the guf, and not only will it wipe away the mud, but it will energize the guf to be a spiritual entity, so that the guf also will be able to bond with Hashem l'netzach, not just the neshama returning to its place, but the guf also being so energized by the neshama. So the problem is that the diamond was plunged into mud. It's a physical world. Our connection to our neshama is very tenuous. It's a very abstract idea. We don't feel the neshama. This is one of the after effects of Adam HaRishon's chet. We certainly feel our guf. We feel the chomer. And we're in a world which is full of chomer. We have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to be married, have children, we have to do all these things. We have to. This is the only way we could continue to live, otherwise we would die. So that's first of all. And then the guf is like an animal. It has tithes, it has desires, it wants pleasure. It's not a spiritual entity. So it's forced into physicality, and it wants physicality, and this is the problem. And then, and we barely feel the neshama, and the neshama is muddied. So, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, and he'll explain this even more now, was that it gave. Well, he doesn't call it mitzvah saseis and mitzvah lo saseis. He calls it sedarim and gvulos. It gave. Hashem gave programs and limits that help us make the diamond shine again. The programs of the mitzvah saseis, we'll explain, with each mitzvah being responsible for another bulb in the neshama, another light, makes the neshama shine. A mitzvah saseh makes the neshama shine. And the losa says, which is refraining from indulgence in the physical, wipes away some mud. A lav does not mean, in Ramchal's world, avoid killing someone. Avoid, you know, don't let this happen. This shouldn't happen. We don't want anybody killed. We don't want anything stolen. We don't want anybody hurt. We don't want Kilayim worn. No, that's not it. That's not the point. It's missing the point. The point is that a person should refrain from doing it. A person theoretically goes through his whole life, our whole life, and never meets up with Kilayim, then there's nothing. It doesn't uncover any mud. Right? We're talking about doing a losaseh. Hashem doesn't care, so to speak. The point isn't that Kilayim shouldn't be worn, or that no one should be murdered, or that work shouldn't be done on Shabbos. The point is you, the person works, and everything is limiting the physical. We have to work and earn money. Okay, we can't work on Shabbos. We have to have clothing and see to it that we're dressed properly, but you can't wear kalayim. We eat, but you can't eat possible challah. So everything is really limiting and reining in the physical. But the point is we're refraining from doing it. And that, if you say, well, I never wanted to murder anyone, although maybe if your kids don't be quiet and they keep crying, you're tempted. But then you have more sophisticated forms of murder. You can embarrass someone publicly. You could cut someone down with words, and it's like murdering them. But I'm not going into that now. The point is you refrain. And actually, you know, we think of a lot as being passive, but it could take much more energy to do a lav, to fulfill a lav, than to do a mitzvah. Like a fresh challah, okay. I mean, okay, you gotta do it, but I'll do it. You know, it's not much harder not to take mekama. You think, oh, the lav is passive, and the aseh is active. The aseh is much more powerful than a lav. If you think in terms of energy and wiping off mud and making the light of the neshama shine, it definitely takes more spiritual energy to not take the kama, to not do natira, than it does to be mafresh challah, than it does to have a mezuzah on your door, right? So a lav is not passive, although we think of it as being passive. The lavim are there that we refrain from them. We have to overcome our inclination to do it. So the lav actually serves two purposes. It reins in the physical, thus mitigating somewhat the physicality, the natural state of the person, which is to be a physical animal. It reins it in by the lavim, and by listening to the lavim, we're actually, again, making that. We do the lavim. The lavim are not passive. We fulfill mitzvah saseis, and we fulfill mitzvah lo saseis. How do you fulfill a mitzvah lo saseh? By refraining from doing it. Obviously, that's if the situation comes up. And again, it could be sophisticated. It doesn't have to be murder. Actual murder could be embarrassing someone. Anything in midos is you have to refrain. You have to refrain from answering back in anger. You have to refrain from taking the kama. You have to refrain from talking lashon hara. It's very, very hard. But that's a positive. It's really a positive. It's I'm doing something. So the lavim have two purposes. It reigns in the physical if I adhere to them, and also it also is a positive thing. It also makes the neshama shine. So he calls these two things Sidorim and Gvulos. Sidorim is Tochniot, that's a mitzvah saseh. I live my life in a spiritual way. Hashem wants me to daven and say kriyashma and do chesed and to have bitachon and to, you know, 48 Asayas. And the Gevulim, that's the Siddurim he calls them, and the Gevulim are the limitations of the physical. And that's their purpose, and that's why they're there. And that helps me wash away a little mud. Ultimately, the Neshama shines and has its effects upon the Guf, hopefully. The evil the Haisak Zayr Gazura Shayamus, the Zura Abdu. Now, if not for Adam Arishon's Chet, where, again, it's much more than just, much more sophisticated than just say, well, he sinned, he's punished, and now everybody has to die. It's that the physicality is such that before the Neshama can energize the Guf has to be separated from the Neshama and decompose. And like a new Guf has to be resurrected and reconstructed. That's how much his chet affected the state of mankind. The evil of the high side is Rishon Yomus, the Moshe Zechayim of the Yael. Then as soon as you did a mitzvah, the Neshama would shine and have its effect upon the Guf. In this world, you would feel it. Right away, in this world. And the Guf, the mud, would be weakened, wiped away. The purity, the brightness, the shining of the Guf would right away happen. That's the way it was originally planned. And this Alam Shneim Alad Vekos Boyiz Baruch Shema. Well, the fish Agzera Gezura, but the course of Agzera, because Adam Arishon was Chote. Ein Hadav, assuming you made the right choice, of course, you still have a choice. He said that the choices were balanced. Before the Chet of Adam Arishon, the choices were balanced. You probably felt your Neshama as much as you feel your Guf. We feel like Guf, we get tired, we get hungry, we have certain desires, it's all Guf. The Neshama, not so much, not by a long shot. You know, it takes a lot to feel. But before the original Chayit, it was equal, balanced. But now he says, Lufishak Zer Gezura, Ena Dover Nazir of Hamachas. It doesn't happen immediately, it doesn't happen without death. The Guf is too physical, it's too powerfully muddy. The mud is too powerful. But meanwhile, the neshama, you don't feel it, but the neshama is acquiring brightness, acquiring light and brightness. Koach means potentially. The guf is earning potential energy, right? We know in science, there's a thing called potential energy. The guf is acquiring potential light, potential brightness. It's it doesn't actually happen because the guf is too much mud. So you are marching, we are all marching, Be'ezus Hashem. If we live the way we're supposed to live, we're marching towards Shleimus, towards the Zikuch HaNeshama, and through it, the Zikuch HaGuf. We are marching towards that, and we are actually acquiring it for koach, potentially. It's there, it's actual, right? Potential energy is real, it's actual. It's actual potential energy. Sheyetzi HaKakach L'Koyol, it will metamorphosis into actual energy, actual light. It's not a royal. In other words, if you think of, you know, a battery, you know, so it's getting over a computer screen, and you're adding pixels to the screen, and it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. But meanwhile, there's a mosach, there's a screen on the screen. So you're not seeing the brightness, because the body's in the way. But it's still getting brighter and brighter behind that screen. That's what's happening here in this world. Once it was a gzeira that the guf has to decompose in order to acquire the zikuch of the neshama. Ach, paragraph hey. Ach hasdorim. Now we cheated a little because I said the word asay and mosase and mitzvahs. He's saying it now. Achasdorim, the programs, the the machines in the gym, except not the physical gym to work out and strengthen your physical muscles, but the machines in the spiritual gym that you strengthen your spiritual muscles, you're adding pixels. Bagvulos, the limitations that clean off the mud, because it's limiting the physical, because you can't do this, you can't do that. And as you exercise your self-control, you're actually wiping away some mud from the physical. Now he's going to go on, because it gets even more sophisticated, because he's going to say that it's not just the reframing actually has more of an effect than just even just wiping away the mud, but you actually are using the goof. It's much more of a positive act than it seems, even more than we've said till now. Not only is refraining active, not passive, because I have to refrain, I have to do that, but even in terms of, it's not just wiping away mud, but it's actually adding light, because I'm transforming the guf into a vehicle of Avodas Hashem. And that's a totally positive act, but we'll see, he'll explain that. Achasdorim and the programs, the hagvulos and the limitations, are elu, hinehen klal ha-mitzvahs. You see, Hashem knows us, He knows our bodies, He knows our souls. He constructed the whole program. He wrote the program. He programmed the computer. So He knows the mitzvahs are not arbitrary. The mitzvahs are, there's different Rishonim talk about the mitzvahs differently. He's saying the mitzvahs are exactly what's needed to make the neshama shine and connect to Hashem. And I told you each mitzvah is a different machine in the gym. This one's for the leg muscles, this one's for the stomach muscles, this one's for the thigh muscles, this one's for the cardiovascular system. That's how it is in a gym. You don't walk in there and see a Hashem made the gym. So there's 248 machines there. So you don't walk in there and say, well, this guy walked in and bought every machine on the market. You know, it doesn't make sense. He says every machine has a specific purpose to strengthen a specific muscle. And that's what Hashem did. He made 248 machines. And then the mitzvah says, and with each machine is to strengthen and to make shine a specific muscle in the marshal, and everything is calibrated, you know, and remember that a mitzvah is not simple. If you know anything about mitzvahs, which I think you do, every mitzvah has like a 200 details, and each detail is important. That's why people that want to do a mitzvah and do it in the easiest way, and they yotzei b'di'eved, and it's good enough, and the yotzei b'di'eved, right? So they say, okay, I'm yotzei b'di'eved. It's like, what's wrong? I got my check on my checklist of mitzvahs. Like, what do you mean b'di'eved? B'di'eved doesn't mean anything unless I got the check. So what do I care if the Mishnah Berurah calls it b'di'eved? B'di'eved the yotzei. I'll do it b'chatchila b'di'eved. I don't lose anything. Of course you lose. You lose an awful lot. Because every part of the mitzvah, every detail of the mitzvah adds light. And if you do it, you got the pixel, let's say, but then there's this little mini pixels that make the pixel shine brighter. And you didn't do that. So it's a loss. It's a lost opportunity. If you want to say, it's fine. You say that now, but you know, if you went to the gym and you exercised the muscle and you didn't use the machine to the fullest extent, and then you say, hey, it's fine, I did this, you know, but then you lost an unbelievable opportunity. And I don't know if it can come back. Maybe it can come back. You can do true, or you can try again. But the attitude that this is good enough is an attitude that doesn't take into account what's really happening when in our lives of Avodas Hashem. Again, we think of everything as we get a high enough mark, we go to Gan Eden. We're learning Ramchal for this reason. Every mitzvah and every detail of every mitzvah. And throughout the Sefer, as he goes on to the Sefer, section 2, section 3, section 4, he gives us a glimpse into exactly what light shines from the neshama if you do the mitzvah of Sukkah. What light shines from the neshama when you do the mitzvah of Challah? What light shines from the neshama when you do the mitzvah of mezuzah? What light shines when you do tefillin? He describes certain mitzvahs and he speaks out. You know, what the light, this neshama now has this connection to Hashem, and the neshama now has this connection to Hashem. But yeah, that's the Sefer. That's a lot of the Sefer, especially Chelek Dalet. Talks about specific mitzvahs. Then the most powerful flash of light is Talmud Torah. That's why, you know, Talmud Torah connects Kulam, right? Torah, like, out, it's like the be-all and end-all. It's more than just a specific mitzvah. It happens to be one of the 248 mitzvahs, but it's much more than that. It's a searchlight. It's a
beacon.
It's a beacon. It's much more than the flash of light.
So
much more than a pixel.
The
what?
That exercises all the muscles.
You know, I could say yeah, but he's going to really be very specific, and let's wait till we learn it. Imamish describes what it does, and we'll get to it. In a general sense, yes.
Why do you need the other?
He talks about that also. I'm trying to cram everything into what we're learning, but we have the whole Sefer yet to do. But it's a very, very good question, and he deals with that. He deals with everything. It's on the board. I tell my wife and my kids, if you have someone that's uninspired to do mitzvahs, you know, because the whole system seems like you're giving them rules and you're promising them, you know, you'll go on the class trip if you get enough points. But you learn Derech Hashem, it's like, I'm not saying it would be inspiring to everybody, but you see there's really something going on. And like, really, I would say most people would shrug their shoulders and say, okay, those guys are B'di Evid. Okay. I'm like, what's wrong? Like, what does B'di Evid mean? I still get the check. The check was there because I was Yotzei. So what was Yotzei? I get the check. But you're missing some brightness. Yeah.
Doing the mitzvah and complaining about it afterward,
is that like a, that's also a... Whoa. Nothing to do with Ramchal. You're asking a question now.
No,
how bad is it to do a mitzvah and complain about it?
You know.
It's very bad. I mean, it's bad enough that I'll tell you how bad it is. The Gemara says you run the risk of losing the credit of the mitzvah. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, you've heard of him? Okay. He asks a question, if the Gemara says that about regret for doing a mitzvah, so why is tshuva such a big chiddush? If it works that I lose the mitzvah if I regret doing the mitzvah, so why don't we simply say that if I regret doing the aveira, I lose the aveira? Why is tshuva like this? Oh man, such a big chiddush, thank you Hashem, you gave us this wonderful gift called tshuva. Well, it's nothing special. If I regret doing the mitzvah, I lose the mitzvah. That's how serious we should take it. Now, a lot of people kvetch, but they don't really regret it. They just like to kvetch. So, you know, you're taking a guest into your house, you know, let's say for a few days, and you complain about it. For many people, it allows them to do the mitzvah. It's like I'm not saying it's the greatest thing in the world, but a lot of times we don't really regret it. And if we had to do it all over again, we would do it all over again. We just like to kvetch. And somehow it's almost asaf to the Yetzer Hara, because it lets us do the mitzvah if we have this outlet of fetching. Of course, you run the risk of lashon hara a lot of times when you fetch, because if you fetch about what you're doing, a lot of times it can become lashon hara if you talk to someone else and you fetch about how they, let's say, guess, you know, and they don't pick up after themselves, and they don't throw out the garbage, and they don't, you know, and then say, you're not talking lashon hara, and that's not good. But I'm just trying to make us fetchers feel good. We don't always lose the mitzvah. The question is, if you had to do it all over again now, would you do it? And the answer is usually yes. We just like to fetch. Okay. So, this is amazing. The programs which are the pixels, Vagvulos, what limits, wipes away the mud, because it limits the physical, Ha'ela, that I've been speaking about, and that's why we're in this world, to do this work. This is the Torah, this is the mitzvahs. Ha'asin v'halavin. The asin is the storim, and the lavin are the gulos. And it's unbelievable. Asher kol achas mehem, each one, b'chuvenes, is specifically geared, el tachlis, hikonos, haknos ba'odam, to instill in a person light, v'ha'atzim bol, and some mitzvahs you do every day, some mitzvahs you do once a year, some mitzvahs you do once a month. Hashem structures it all. Hashem knows which mitzvahs. Everything is programmed, everything is with a cheshbon, nothing is haphazard, nothing is by accident, nothing is stamazoi. Everything is based on cheshbon, all worked out. Everything is mamash worked out the way it's, so that we maximize our lives in all of our set in the best possible way. So it instills a life, a ha'atzim bo, and it strengthens within us, achas mimadregos ha'mayla ha'mikdash as a kind of, you know, working towards shleimus. So that's the sudorim, v'hasaras, and the removal of echad me'inyoni ha'choshech v'hachisronos, Adiday Poal Hamitsu Sasehahi, O Hamanio Minalosase. Hashem didn't say don't wear shatnez because he cares so much about shatnez being worn, so to speak. Maybe there's that also. But Ramchal's saying, by not wearing shatnez, if I have to grapple with it, I have this beautiful suit or dress, you know, and it can't be checked, and maybe it is because it's Paris place, and I refrain from wearing it because it might be shatnez. So that wipes away a specific piece of mud. The lavim were given in order that I exercise my restraint and thus wipe away some mud. Bu'ulam prat Hamitzvahs kulam, that's called, what we call tiktukei halacha, because every mitzvah has at least hundreds of details. V'chein prate kol mitzvah u'mitzvah, well, prate mitzvahs kulam, meaning if you put them all together, and it's a prate of each mitzvah, v'nehem miyusodim ha'amitos mitziyuso v'inyano shel ha'odim v'chol b'chinoso. Hashem took everything into account, all the physicality that envelops a person, and designed a program that could uplift him or her and make the neshama shine. Amitos and yonei hashleimos amitzorich kol dover b'tzuna'ov u'gevulov mashitzorich la'ashram also. If you do it perfectly, you'll become hashleimos. Everything is geared towards more and more shleimus, more and more shleimus. V'omnam, that's Hashem, and his ultimate wisdom, sheyudas kol zel amito, that knows with clarity every fiber of a person's psyche, v'yudas kol inyonei habruim kulam, v'shimusheyem, and how they use different things in the bria, Moshe Barosom, the Emes is Kifa Alakol. Everything is included. Nothing gets lost. Nothing is missing. Every aspect of physicality can be combated by a specific mitzvah or by refraining from a specific losas. We call it a column and store it for mitzvahs and everything we need. Since you want to be Torahso, Moshe Kosovi, it's a Vino Moshe Hasos, it's called Ahukim or Elo, the Tolvon Kalayon. So it's not, Hashem didn't like arbitrarily make a list of things he wants you to do. Every mitzvah, whether it's a lav or an asay, has the power to make the neshama shine in its specific way, and its diktuke halacha make it shine. Let's say you have a bowl, a three-way bowl. Right? In the good old days, they used to always be three-way bowls. I don't see them anymore so much. I don't see them at all. But you have a three-way bowl, right? You turn the button and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So this bowl goes on if I'm yotzei the mitzvah, but if I do all the diktuke halacha, it shines in an even brighter way. And if I do it, let's say, in the l'chatchila ideal way, behidur, I do it behidur, right? There's a thing called hidur mitzvah. Then it's on the third level, it's shining the brightest. So it's the same bulb, but this is the bulb of this mitzvah, and this makes the neshama shine in this way, but you could have it shines 30 watts, 60 watts, you know, and 90 watts, depending on how many of the dikduke halacha you are careful about, you do. Yeah?
Would you say that the mitzvahs are customized to each person in terms of how much they can accomplish and how bright they can become?
Well, the mitzvahs are not customized, given across the board.
The challenge to each person.
What's customized is each person's life. In other words, each neshama is different, and each neshama has different, I'm not even going into that, but each person has a different neshama. So if a person needs more work, and the one neshama will need more work to shine in the area of Shabbos, and one neshama will need more light in the area of Lashon Hara, and one neshama will need more light in the area of eating kosher. So this neshama will come down in a goof in this country or in this century. You have to realize, right? We're talking, the mitzvahs are all the same, but what mitzvahs are relevant to me, some neshamas are a kohen gadol, right? So he has a lav and he has a mitzvah saseh. Some neshamas go into the guf of kohanim. Some of them are born in the 12th century because they have to deal with things that in the 21st century we don't have to deal with. Some are born in the 21st century because we have to deal with things that they didn't have to deal with in the 12th century. So that's where it's customized, because every point of history is customized, every person's place where he or she lives and grows up is customized, my parents are customized to me, my century is customized to me, everything. Which school I ended up going to, which friends I made, things that were not my choice. So everything is customized for me to have certain nisyonos and not to have other nisyonos, and thus the mitzvahs that make the shining that my neshama needs, the customized is in circumstance. The customized is not in the Torah, the customized is in circumstance. That's why some people are malachim, and some people are kohanim, and some people are kohen gadol, and some people were born in this century or that century. You know, that's why, that's what's not the same.
But I find sometimes, and I see sometimes with my children even, that they hop on to certain things. Like one of my children is so very big into Hanukkah and the menorah is like a highlight of life. Another one is Pesach or different things.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a heaven sent inspiration. I assume he didn't do anything to work on it, but that's from Shemayim, something that once that says this neshama needs that, and so the person is inspired to do that. Yes. It puts a special emphasis. Some people end up doing chesed, right? And some people end up learning. Right? And sometimes some people are geared, they do amazing things with chesed, and some people, like you said, put kaiches at the Hanukkah, some people put amazing kaiches at the Pesach, Purim, even everything. So, yes, in that sense, but again, Hashem is sending that inspiration. That's usually not something that the person consciously works on. It's like somehow he's moved to do that. And that's Hashem hooking him up to what his neshama needs. Yeah. Okay. So, paragraph A said that these are the mitzvot aseis and the mitzvot lo aseis. And that's what we're supposed to be doing with our lives. Now, in paragraph 12, we're really moving along. Baruch Hashem, I know Baruch Hashem, I'm here, Baruch Hashem, I'm here, Baruch Hashem, but we're not going too fast. We're cramming in a lot of concepts, and we're doing it very quickly. I hope we don't lose the chashivas. I don't know if I'm doing justice to the chashivas of every sentence, every phrase. Paragraph above. Now he like takes a step back and says, well, see, I keep speaking this out, so this is going to be like, it's going to sound repetitious to you. If you learn the words of Ramchal, he never really said this yet. I keep saying it, so it sounds repetitious. And what is it all about? What are we doing in this world? What are we doing? What's the end game? What's the goal? It really boils down to one point and one focus. It might have a million moving parts, but it boils down to one focus. That a person is always being dovek and connecting to Hashem. That's the end game of everything. To be dovek by Hashem. In this world, in the next world, to have the Beikus, to have Shemisi Hashem, the Negri Summit, to walk around with a sense of the reality of Hashem. That's what Bitachon does to a great degree, as we've learned so many times of Chedus Havlov Hashara. Bitachon, it gives you a sense of the reality of Hashem, and the Beikus is that you have this, in this world, the Beikus is you're always thinking of Hashem. And Hashem is on your mind. And that's why it's called love. Like a lovesick person will always be thinking of the object of his love. We're always thinking, ideally, we're supposed to be thinking of Hashem. And Pone Tamid Laboro, Vuhu Sheyeda V'yovin, a person is, this is the point of it all. A person has to be aware and knowledgeable and understand. Shehu Lo Nivra Elalios Mazdabik Laboro. Right, we lose sight of this because we plod through everyday life, and most people experience that the purpose of life is to get through it. That's the purpose, right? They get through it, and they have kids, and then the kids get married, and then the kids get through it, and you just want to get through it and survive, hopefully. So no, there's a specific focused purpose for life, and that is. Again, the neshama is a diamond, and it was thrown into the mud, traumatized, put into a physical setting, very foreign to its nature. But Hashem gave us a program to clean up the mud and to relight the pixels of the neshama, and then ultimately, la'ad u'l'neitzach etzachim, to be mizdabek in Hashem, to be able to connect. The more mud there is, the less you can connect. Like the wires in a computer, right? If there's rust or mold, and they got onto the connections, it'll be a weaker connection. And the screen won't be so bright because the connection is not that good. And so we put here to be Mustavik and Boro. How do we do that? Because we're thrown here, we're traumatized and muddy. To overcome the physical, that's the Yitzro of the physical, to overcome the physical, that's what it's all about. It's all about combating the physical, hepech taivus achomer netiyoso, rejecting what the body wants. That the body wants pleasure, the body wants taivus, and the body wants what it wants, whatever it wants. And we're supposed to overcome it. So Hashem gives us the method with which to overcome it by giving us the mitzvah saseis and the mitzvah losa says. And what we're supposed to be doing is using the koach of our rational thought, even though I told you rational thought could be used for that also. But it's not rational, really. It's really rational. We're thinking, right? So that's the real rational thought, and you overcome the goof. That's what they're here for. We're here for this struggle to overcome the goof. Hepech taivus achomer netiyoso. Sometimes we could use the goof. Besides the goof having the limitations that clean off the mud, but there's only so much the limitations can do. We still have to eat, and we still have to drink, and we still have to get married, and we still have to have children, and we still have to sleep. Right? So we can't totally limit, wipe off all the mud. But the answer is that if we do it, there's two ways to do it. We can do it and avoid stepping over the line, and then we can do much better. We can actually do it as a service to Hashem. There's two ways in which my refraining from doing something is a service to Hashem. One is I'm listening to Hashem and I'm not doing it, but also when the things I do, because they're unavoidable, because I do have to sleep X amount of hours a night, and I do have to eat X amount of food a day, and I do have to have a job and I have to earn money. In fact, most of the day is spent with engagement in Olam Hazeh. Most of the day is not spent in engagement with Olam Haba, spiritual. Most of the day is spent in engaging with Olam Hazeh. So he, not only is it are the lavim given so that I exercise my self-restraint, my self-control, and thus wipe away mud when I exercise that self-control through the lavim. But when I actually use the guf for mitzvahs and to serve Hashem, and if you have the right thoughts, then you say, I'm eating in order to live, in order to serve Hashem. In other words, you can eat in order to live because you want to live, you don't want to die. And you'll make sure you eat kosher. And that's good, very good, excellent. Otherwise, we can go through our whole lives and only do that. That would be wonderful. But then there's the Ayin Madrega where you say, well, I'm eating in order to live, in order to be able to serve Hashem and do Hashem's will. So then you really turn everything into a mitzvah. So, okay, we'll stop here and we'll talk about this more next time and we'll continue. So I guess we'll stop from Zion next time.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm going to tell where it says, something like that. Isn't that something like that? So is that if a person thinks himself, would he automatically
if a person does what?
Hashem, could he automatically get